You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, May 26, 2022. Tell me why markets react as the energy transition slams into energy reality. Published by Jason Lindquist. Supply chains are screwed up. Inflation has returned with a vengeance. And the politics of energy in the US are all over the place, with demands for energy companies to do more today even as plans are being made to phase them out of existence tomorrow. This is today's world, traditional energy markets learning to live with the impact of renewables, decarbonization, and sustainability initiatives, while at the same time dealing with the aftermath of a pandemic and the consequences of a war with a totally uncertain trajectory, and it's likely to be with us for a long time to come. That was the focus of our Spring 2022 School of Energy, and it's the subject of today's RBN blog. Warning, today's blog includes a couple of blatant plugs for a newly available replay of our recent conference in Houston. As we've talked about often in the blogosphere and as we covered over 2 days at our latest School of Energy, the reality of the energy transition is that there is simply no way that renewables and electric power can replace hydrocarbons at the speed that many people would like to see happen. That's not a judgment about the efforts to decarbonize. Instead, it's an understanding that to avert major economic dislocation, the shift to a lower carbon economy will need to occur at a measured, responsible pace. There is plainly too much infrastructure that will have to be replaced, too many challenges regarding the supply of needed metals, minerals, and other materials, and too many upfront costs for decarbonization to happen overnight. And that means that traditional hydrocarbon energy will continue flowing side by side with renewables and lower carbon energy for years to come. U.S. oil production, which had risen to a peak of just under 10 million barrels per day in 1970, was steadily declining into the shale revolution, which led to a welcome surge in unconventional production. Natural gas followed a similar trajectory, as did NGLs. It was a paradigm shift that changed the U.S. energy market from one of shortage and energy dependence to one of energy security and even surplus. In a surplus market, like we had for the better part of a decade, buyers tend to have more pricing power and they push suppliers to produce more efficiently. But the COVID pandemic crushed demand and tanked prices, especially for crude oil, leading to dramatically lower production and a shortage of supplies once the global economy reawakened. In a shortage market, like the one we're living with today, resurgent demand has outstripped supply and the imbalance has only been exacerbated by Russia's war on Ukraine and its side effects. Prices have skyrocketed. In normal times, surging demand and higher prices would spur increased production of oil and gas, but that hasn't happened this time around, with producers needing to weigh a multitude of factors in deciding whether to assume the short and long-term risks of boosting output. That puts energy markets at a crossroads, with calls for higher production and lower consumer prices at direct odds with the global energy transition and environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, priorities. And the energy market impacts of that conflict were at the heart of this spring's two-day School of Energy session, our first in-person, face-to-face school in 2.5 years. The curriculum featured 44 modules, all of which are now available online with our School of Energy Encore package, and these are not recordings of the conference, these are presentations created especially for an online format that mirror our live content. While the central theme of the conference, as we mentioned before, is the need for balance between the conflicting goals of energy security and decarbonization, there are a host of related factors in the interlinked hydrocarbon and renewables markets that influence where we'll find equilibrium in the short and long term. One is the impact of the shale revolution that led North America to become a producing superpower. The abundance of crude, gas, and liquids spilled over into international markets to the point that rising exports of those commodities put the U.S. at the nexus of global supply and demand. But even with demand and prices rebounding from pre-pandemic lows, producers, especially in the U.S., still face a lot of headwinds, including inflation, labor shortages, supply chain issues, political pushback, and a global push for decarbonization, not to mention the uncertainty regarding OPEC plus supplies, continued COVID aftershocks, and a regulatory landscape rapidly shifting to incentivize energy transition initiatives at the expense of traditional energy supplies. As a result, many producers have determined it would be prudent to prioritize returning cash to shareholders and dedicate more capital to energy transition initiatives rather than invest in production growth. That was the situation in late 2021 and early 2022, prior to the war in Ukraine, tight and tenuous. The war and the resulting sanctions against Russia then pushed global energy markets over the edge. Energy prices quickly skyrocketed and drove general inflation along with it. That caught everybody's attention, from consumers to news outlets to politicians, and cast a spotlight on the causes of high energy prices and the critical role energy plays in the broader economy. Now we could be at the precipice of an inflection point for the energy industry. With more eyes than ever on energy markets, more have internalized the ubiquitous impact of high energy costs and begun to recognize that we are caught in a trap made of our own design. Namely, we've been implementing policies meant to phase out hydrocarbons and deliberately increase their costs to encourage the transition to renewable sources. But those sources aren't yet capable of carrying the load. As that reality sinks in among folks outside the energy sector, we've seen some indication that the scales may be starting to tip away from the goal of decarbonization at any cost toward an energy mix that places more value, at least in the near term, on energy security. Evidence of this can be seen at the government level, with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, walking back a tougher statement of policy regarding pipeline certification, and at the investor level, with BlackRock indicating that it will continue to invest in energy companies. These are just two examples, among others here and abroad, and while they may seem relatively minor, their implications for continued utilization of our energy resources is significant. But that's not the end of the story. Far from it. North American hydrocarbon production could help to alleviate global supply shortfalls. The last 2.5 years have been turbulent for global oil markets, starting with the pandemic's arrival and WTI prices going negative, followed by the busiest Atlantic hurricane season on record, curtailed OPEC Plus production, a new U.S. president, and an industry shift toward renewables and lower carbon energy sources. U.S. crude oil production has grown by 1.5 million barrels per day since June 2021 to approach 12 million barrels per day today, but that's still about 1 million barrels per day short of pre-COVID levels. So far this year, we've seen crude oil prices jump above $100 per barrel and record releases from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which have had a dramatic impact on crude markets, both domestic and abroad. We expect U.S. crude production to rise by another 1.5 million barrels per day over the next 5 years, and that will support a 50% jump in U.S. oil exports by 2027, to about 4.5 million barrels per day from today's 3 million barrels per day. Shifting focus from oil to natural gas, LNG export capacity in the U.S. now tops 80 million metric tons per year, million tons per annum, with feed gas demand near 12 BCF per day and growing with new projects commissioning and under construction. The U.S.'s position as a global supplier of LNG has never been larger or more important. Global demand is growing and Russia's invasion of Ukraine has reshaped Europe's energy markets. With the call for more LNG in Europe and elsewhere, many once stalled LNG projects in North America are regaining momentum and hoping to achieve a positive final investment decision, or FID, in the near term. Where's all that gas going to come from? We have the gas in the ground here in North America, yet natural gas, like oil or NGLs, is most efficiently transported via pipeline, and in the most prolific U.S. gas-producing basin, Appalachian producers are facing headwinds in the form of major barriers in the midstream. The midstream renaissance that fueled the shale revolution is pretty much over. It's gotten much harder for gas pipeline projects to gain traction, especially in the Northeast, where environmental opposition to hydrocarbon development is persistent. That's a lot of high-level information for us to shoehorn into one blog, but there's more still that we haven't even begun to touch on here, such as impacts to the refining sector and crude quality NGL markets, and efforts by the industry to participate in energy transition with hydrogen and carbon capture solutions. That may give you a sense of the breadth of content that is covered in our School of Energy, all of which is now available in an online format that includes 44 presentations, 11 Excel models, and more than 16 hours of content that you can watch at your own pace. For more information, click here. Tell Me Why was written and originally recorded by Carla Bonoff for her 1988 studio album, New World. It appears as the first song on Winona's second studio album of the same name. Released as the first single from the album in April 1993, the song went to number 3 on the Billboard Hot Country Songs and number 77 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles charts. Personnel on the record were Winona Judd, lead, backing vocals, Steve Nathan, Matt Rawlings, Barry Beckett, Billy Kirsch, keyboards, Carla Bonoff, Don Potter, Stuart Smith, Steve Cropper, Marcus Hummond, guitars, Paul Franklin, steel guitar, Willie Weeks, bass, Eddie Bayers, drums, Terry McMillan, percussion, Jim Horn, saxophones, George Tidwell, trumpets, Steve Dorff, string arrangements, and Kenny Edwards, Wendy Waldman, Bob Bailey, Kim Fleming, Susie Willis, Chris Rodriguez, Naomi Judd, Lyle Lovett, Jesse Winchester, backing vocals. The album Tell Me Why was recorded at Emerald Sound Studio in Nashville, with Tony Brown producing. Released in May 1993, the album went to number 1 on the Billboard Top Country Albums and number 5 on the Billboard 200 Albums charts. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 5 singles were released from the LP. Wynonna Judd Christina Claire Simonella is an American country music singer and one of the best-selling country artists of all time. She rose to fame in the 1980s alongside her mother, Naomi, in the multi-platinum country music duo, The Judds. As a solo artist, Wynonna has released 9 studio albums, 1 live album, 4 compilation albums, 1 EP, and 43 singles. She has won 2 Billboard Music Awards and 1 Academy of Country Music Award as a solo artist. Wynonna continues to record and tour and was on the eve of beginning a 10-date reunion tour with her mother billed as The Judds, the final tour, when Naomi Judd tragically died in April 2022. Naomi died the day before The Judds were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.